Hello and welcome to episode 332 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Ed Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva, and we are down to the final four. Yes, only four NFL teams remain in the 2021-22 NFL season. Evan, I presume as a King football bro, you enjoyed what was really an incredible four-game slate, especially the two-game slate was really ridiculous. But yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, we started off with a lot of field goals early on, and then we kind of, you know, progressed into like one of the greatest football games of all time. I mean, you know, that Chiefs-Rams game from a few years ago, and then this Bills-Chiefs game, probably the two best games off the top of my head that I can remember over the last like 5 years. And obviously, I love these divisional round games, and I fully buy the notion that the divisional round is the best weekend of football all year. The one thing that always bothers me, though, is like how people just cast these massive sweeping judgments about teams and players based on the outcomes of these individual one and done games. I mean, people were out here on Sunday and Monday saying legitimately stupid shit about Aaron Rodgers being a choker and overrated and not as good as Eli Manning. And stupid stuff about Tom Brady and about how the Bills missed their window or something, and just like complaining about everything. I mean, every call, you know, they complain about every penalty. They complain about they know the refs' names, and they complain about the refs, and they complain about the overtime rules. And it makes social media kind of like a not enjoyable place to be, you know? So we had a ton of snow on Monday where I live, and I had the Omicron, but I was still out there shoveling snow out in front of my house off my steps, all across the sidewalk, the walkways, pouring the salt. And it was a really good feeling. So I want to say to the listeners, at the end of the day, be willing to tune out the noise, the hyperbole, the whining and the crying, and all the people with all the platforms who don't deserve them. Just get out there, get your hands in the dirt. It really does feel good. There's a sense of satisfaction that comes from it that you can't, you know, that you can't get elsewhere.
Me and my neighbor split a snowblower, and so nice. I'm not actually shoveling, but I am out there with the snowblower blowing stuff around. I don't know if that's manly enough for you or not, but I am
counts.
Out there.
That definitely counts. I mean, you see the snow fucking going everywhere. That's manly. Yeah, that's great.
Oh God! All right. On today's show, we are going to go team by team through the final four teams remaining in these NFL playoffs. Before we get to that, I have to remind everyone this show is indeed brought to you by our friends at prizepicks.com. It's gonna be wild for the Super Bowl. It's already wild for conference championship. A ton of stuff was up already on Monday for conference championship week. We'll be going deep into the players for sure on props. PrizePicks is no exception. If you're in a place like California or Texas or Florida or a bunch of other states that don't have regulated sports betting, PrizePicks is indeed legal and regulated in those states. You can bet their props in parlay form. If you want to give them a try this week, they do have 100% instant deposit bonus up to $100. Use promo code ETR to get the best deal, or use the link in the show notes. Again, promo code ETR at prizepicks.com. All right, Evan. Let's start with the NFC, and let's start with the Rams. So Bucks team was decimated by injury, and you could see it, man. I mean, they really bothered Tom Brady with their pressure. I mean, really, really bothered him with the pressure, and that made a big difference. When you're throwing to Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller instead of Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin, that makes a big difference. But anytime you go on the road in the playoffs and beat Tom Brady, I think it's a really, really good win. From a usage perspective, this Cam Akers thing continues to blow my mind, man. I mean, 6 months removed from an Achilles tear, 58 of 72 snaps, 80% of them, 24 carries, 24 out of 25 running back carries for Cam Akers, 24 routes on 42 Stafford dropbacks. Cam Akers did lose two fumbles. I mean, he tried to give him the game. I mean, and they made a bunch of bonehead plays, but I mean, Cam Akers really tried to give him a game with these two fumbles that he lost. I don't know if he gets punished for that or not. That'll be a decision point on the two-game slate. My lean is he doesn't. But anyways, what'd you see out of Akers and anything else on Rams as they go into tip and win?
Yeah, I know we're talking about the Rams here, but I just want to say about the Bucks, you know, at every step of his career, essentially, Tom Brady has had a reliable slot receiver, whether it be Wes Welker or, you know, Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman or Chris Godwin, or, you know, even like going back like to Troy Brown, you know, in New England. Like, he's always had a quality interior possession receiver. Tyler Johnson just appears to not be that guy. And, you know, I think that we, you know, heading into next season, I doubt that he's going to have any kind of role with Tampa Bay. I totally blew it on Leonard Fournette also. I mean, Leonard Fournette looked great. I mean, he wound up not getting enough touches. He did get enough receptions, but because they fell behind, he didn't get enough carries. But he really looked good, really in all phases, wound up scoring twice. And, you know, the people that won played him, and the people that won without him had Gabriel Davis. So, as for the Rams, yeah, I mean, Cam Akers, in three games since he's returned, he's got 106 yards and zero touchdowns on 46 carries, 2.3 yards per carry, 70 yards on seven catches, two brutal lost fumbles in this last game. They're lucky that they made it out.
Yeah,
you know, despite those fumbles, they were both in high leverage situations. First was near the goal line. The second was in the fourth quarter to give the Bucs life. I do wonder, you know, Sony Michel was on the field after that. If you remember, like, Matt Stafford waving, you know, the offense to get up to the line after they hit that big play down the field to Cooper Kupp. And, you know, so they could set up for the field goal. He was looking right at Sony Michel, like, come on, let's go. Sony Michel was out there, not Cam Akers. I wonder if we see more Sony Michel against the 49ers. That's something that we will talk about on Friday. Daryl Henderson is now eligible to return from IR. I know he didn't have a shot to play in this previous game. I don't know. We'll have to see about that. And he may or may not come back, but just something to think about. I know Odell Beckham only put up 6 for 69, but I thought he continued to look great out there. He didn't get as many targets in the second half as he did in the first half, but he looked really good when targeted. Another situation. So Joe Noteboom, who filled in for Andrew Whitworth and did a great job against Tampa Bay. I mean, just impeccable. He suffered a strained pec late in the game. He was filling in for Andrew Whitworth, but now McVay is saying that Andrew Whitworth should be back, but it looks like Joe Noteboom is not going to be available for the upcoming game. Those are the notes that I had written down regarding the Rams.
Yeah, I'll say a couple other things on the Rams. You know, we saw Stafford only get 17 attempts off against Arizona. You know, understanding how teams play against Tampa, you know, it was very clear that the Stafford stuff was going to look really good. And, like, you know, before that game went off, I had some Stafford doubles with Fournette and Mike Evans bringbacks that were really doing well. And obviously then the Bills-Chiefs game goes nuclear and Rams doubles weren't looking as good. But yeah, when Stafford gets off 38 attempts, I think he's going to look really good in most spots. And so, you know, he had 32 attempts against San Francisco in week 18. He had 41 against San Francisco in that November loss. And agree with you totally about Odell. This thing with Cooper Kupp is insane, man. I mean, how do you blow coverage on Cooper Kupp to lose the game? I mean, the dude is having the most outrageous year in the history of the NFL. They just leave him wide open. I mean, unbelievable that Cooper Kupp has done it every game, every year, like 8K on DraftKings, 9K on DraftKings, 10K on DraftKings. Doesn't matter. He just keeps getting there. It's so, so, so insane.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people talk about his route running, and I mean, that's, you know, 80% of what makes him special. But he also, like, he remains a route runner. You know, he's also one of these guys that was a stud return specialist in college, number one. Number two, he remains a route runner right when he, like, whenever he gets the ball, he does this, like, pitter-pat. And, like, I mean, he can, you know, he, like, keeps, like, the defenders, like, on their heels. And he adds on to the back of his receptions because of that. He's great after the catch as well. I mean, this is not a fluke. Like, this dude is really freaking good. He can win at all levels of the field. He's not just a slot receiver. He can be a vertical slot receiver, you know, and he's so good with the ball in his hands. I mean, he really is a special player. This is not a fluke.
Last thing I wanted to say about Tampa Bay, before we put them to bed, and we'll revisit obviously a lot of these teams as we go through the offseason. podcast, but you know, their running back position when Tom Brady playing is so valuable. So we were concerned Gio Bernardo was going to cut in, that Lenny had some aggravation risk. We only had Lenny with like 60% of the running back work, and he's still projected as the best running back play on the slate, or at least one of the best running back plays on the slate, because as you saw, he can catch seven, like literally seven, eight balls is like in the realm for Lenny, plus all this goal line work. So yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay running back spot when Tom Brady's in there, just so valuable. All right, San Francisco. I don't know how San Francisco won this game, man. I mean, it's just special, like Green Bay special teams, which has been atrocious all year, cost them the game, this game. I mean, Jimmy G was awful, man. And Jimmy G is just like a mess. And yeah, you can say maybe it's the injuries or whatever. I don't know, man. No excuses to play like a champion. He's 10th in completion percentage this playoffs among 14 quarterbacks, 13th in yards. In yards per game, 12th in passer rating, 12th in PFF grades. Like, they're winning in spite of Jimmy G, and I get that he's allegedly banged up or whatever. You know, I think it's hard to continue to expect them to win with Jimmy G playing like this. What did you see out of San Francisco's surprising, wild, unconventional win at Lambeau?
Yeah, Jimmy G, since suffering his shoulder injury in the late second quarter against Dallas, he's 14 of 30 passing, 47% for 170 yards, 5.7 yards per attempt, zero TDs, two interceptions, four sacks taken on 34 dropbacks, and zero rushing attempts in six-plus quarters. So he has been a non-entity. They've got to win in spite of Jimmy G. And I don't know why there would be any reason to expect that to change. I'm worried now about Trent Williams, their left tackle. You know, stud, has been playing through an elbow injury, but playing effectively. But he went for x-rays after their win over Green Bay. He was on crutches. The x-rays came back negative for a fracture. He does not have a broken ankle. But Kyle Shanahan indicated that he had like some aggravation of a pre-existing ankle problem. He's had ankle problems before. I went back and looked at his injury history. He had some ankle problems earlier this season even. So that's a concern against this Rams. I mean, they're loaded. Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, you know, Aaron Donald. I mean, they can absolutely get after the passer, and the 49ers are going to be in trouble if they don't have Trent Williams, because they're not very good on their right side either. Nice hit by you on the under for Eli Mitchell's rushing attempts, finished with 17. Debo had, you bet his under at 19 and a half. Debo had 10 again. Debo though, Debo got banged up in this game too. He suffered a stinger in like the third quarter. And he came back in. He had a 9-yard run on the 49ers game-winning drive, but then he limped off. He took a helmet to the knee and limped off. Kyle Shanahan did say he'd practice on Wednesday. That would be a very good sign. And then another nice hit by the props team on Brandon Ayuk. And I wrote about this in matchups. It just did not set up as a good game for Brandon Ayuk at all. That was an easy one, I thought. Under 54.5 receiving yards. I didn't think he would goose egg. But I thought that was an easy one, and that was a great pick.
Yeah, for sure. I noticed the same thing you did. You know, Trent Williams injury, Debo injury, and I also saw George Kittle limping around a little bit late in that game. Like, man, you know, they're already in an uphill battle with the way Jimmy G is playing. Now, without Debo, you know, if Debo, Trent, or Kittle and or Kittle are banged up, they're going to be in big trouble. Debo continues, you know, to get about 30% of the running back carries this playoffs. He had 25 snaps so far this playoffs as a running back, 57 as a wide receiver. You know, 30% of the running back carries, 16% of the targets. Like, it's good, you know, but I haven't played Debo in so long, and it's just like you're just asking a lot from efficiency when that's your role for sure. 49ers defense. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and people are going to point to the fact that the 49ers have beaten the Rams in six straight games. It should be noted that four of those last five wins were by one score, three were by a field goal. That, you know, those are interesting stats, I guess, but that's not predictive stuff.
One other thing I'd say, just from a DFS perspective, you know, I didn't play 49ers defense hardly at all, and nobody else did either. They're only 12%, you know, on a four-game slate. When you get in these small slates, man, like, defense is so random. I mean, just having access, no matter how bad it looks, it feels, having access to a low-owned defense that can break the slate. 49ers score 21 points at 2,500. You know, in hindsight, I didn't like San Francisco's defense, but just as like a game theory play, I should have thought harder about playing them. All right. Bengals. I mean, I actually thought T. Higgins played well in this game, but Jamar Chase is like keeps overshadowing him. Jamar Chase, 616 yards in his last four full games. I was looking at yards per route run, which of course, you know, we think is one of the best stats that you can look at. You know, yards per route run for Jamar Chase. He finished sixth in the regular season. The only people better than him, Kupp, Debo, Devonta Adams, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, like the elite of the elite.
What Jamar was his Chase, number? What was his yards per route run number? You know,
I think it was like 2.3 or 4, like something really strong.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anything above two is fucking dope. Yeah.
And so he's 21 years old. He's attached to Joe Burrow. He's been our number one player in Dynasty for a while now. I think you can make a case that Justin Jefferson should be right there with him or ahead, but obviously you have quarterback concerns with Minnesota. So, you know, Jamar Chase is very clearly, I think, the number one Dynasty player right now. I know that's the way Amico has it as well in the rankings that are up on the site. But yeah, you know, T. Higgins was awesome. 796.0, you know, would have looked a lot better if he got four more yards to get the 100-yard bonus. But I thought he played really well, maybe even better than Jamar Chase did. What did you see out of Cincy's big win in Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow has now thrown for, well, we saw a lot of field goals in the game, which that I did not get this over because of all those field goals. But Joe Burrow has now thrown for 300 plus yards in five of his last seven. You know, they've really opened it up. Like, you know, we were a little frustrated early in the season when they hadn't opened it up, but I don't know if they did this on purpose, but they really slow played this about as perfectly as you possibly could for a quarterback coming off a late season ACL, MCL, and he had other damage as well. But Joe Burrow is an absolute stud. I think he's going to have to throw for 300 again for them to stay competitive with Kansas City. You know, Joe Mixon's heavy receiving usage continued against the Titans in his last four games, target counts of 7, 5, 8, 6. He's got 18 or more touches in 11 straight appearances. Another big CJ Uzomah game, 6+ targets now in 6 of his last 7. The Bengals they're just only using 11 personnel at this point. Chase, Higgins, Boyd in the slot, Uzomah at tight end. So, I mean, their formations are predictable, but you know, team defenses still can't stop them. It's going to be a tougher spot this week for these receivers, but these receivers can win against anyone.
Oh yeah. I will say CJ Uzomah's game looked good. He did catch a 32-yard, like, meaningless garbage prevent at the end of the first half. So one of his catches was a 32-yarder that was just absolute stone-cold garbage. But for a tight end to be involved in that, you know, it was like a good sign anyways, you know? And so he had 6 catches outside of that. He continues to be a major part of the offense. That's CJ Uzomah. Yeah, we have Joe Burrow for 299.5 pass yards in this game against Kansas City right now. Prop is at 290.5. So, yeah, I mean, the market is certainly in line, and we're in line with him going for 300 in this game against the Chiefs. Chiefs, man. Evan, I was told, they told me, Chiefs offense, you play cover two and you'll win. Oh, easy game. I'll just, here we go. We'll go to defensive coordinator. We'll play cover two and we'll stop the Chiefs. Let me tell you what happened. Over his last 7 games, since all this cover two nonsense, Patrick Mahomes, 190 of 263. That's 72% completion percentage, 319.5 passing yards per game, 20 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 6-1 record. They could have just stopped all this if they would have just said, oh, we'll just play cover two. Easy game. Such a ridiculous take. I still can't believe people had that take. Maybe the greatest quarterback ever, or one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, would be able to adjust. And you see this with the way they're playing now. Patrick Mahomes is running more as the two safeties are deep. Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball short and letting Tyreek Hill go nuts with Yak now. So like, yeah, maybe cover two is more effective, but it doesn't matter. When you're the best quarterback in the entire league and maybe ever, you're going to adjust and still win. And so I was just so tilted about all that cover two nonsense.
I know you were.
Congrats to the Chiefs.
You ranted about it every damn week.
It's
so stupid. Well, I mean, the way that you phrase it on Twitter, you kind of set it up like a straw man a little bit, though. I mean,
people were saying it. People weren't saying that, Patrick Mahomes can't beat cover two.
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, maybe some really stupid people were, but you have an ability to drown out the stupidity, right? But the way that you said it on Twitter, you said, "Oh, I'm old enough to remember when, Patrick Mahomes was quote unquote solved by the cover two defense or something like that." I don't know. I don't want, I just, the rant is good. So I'm just going to let it be. I'm not going to push back. But yeah, we continue to see that Patrick Mahomes rushing aggressiveness spikes in the playoffs. This is an ongoing trend. Mm-hmm. He just refuses to let plays die. Career playoff rushing average is over 30 yards at this point. Like, he becomes a legitimate dual threat. You know, he's mostly a pocket passer, but man, when the playoffs come, I mean, he's got 10 playoff games averaging over 30 rushing yards, 5 rushing TDs in his career. In the regular season, he's at 18.9 rushing yards average, 8 rushing TDs in 63 games. So he absolutely turns it on. And I think he probably gets the green light from Andy Reid to be, more aggressive as a scrambler. I think it's safe to now call Byron Pringle the Chiefs' clear number two receiver. He's got 7+ targets in 4 of his last 5. We nailed the Chiefs' backfield. Jerick McKinnon, 53 snaps. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 23 snaps. 15 touches for McKinnon. 8 touches for Edwards-Helaire. Did tighten up a little bit in overtime, but that was a pretty small sample. I don't know. We'll talk about it on Friday. I think, what do we expect there to be any change? CEH was more effective on the ground, but McKinnon ran 38 routes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire's 12, had 5 for 54, receiving 7 targets. CEH only 2 targets. Could Darrell Williams return this week? That will be something to monitor. He seemed somewhat close. He had limited participation in practice, I think, at least on Friday. I can't remember if it was.
He went DNP, DNP, LP last week for Darrell.
Okay. Yeah. Josh Gordon got cut from the 53. He hadn't been up anyways, but that kind of locks in their top 4 receivers. No questions about who those guys are. Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, and of course, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, one thing on Pringle I would say is that not only has he established himself as the clear-cut number two wide receiver, he ran 46 routes on 56 Mahomes dropbacks, but unlike previous number two wide receivers for the Chiefs, he's actually earning targets. And like Evan alluded to, he's been getting 6, 7, 8 targets per game over the last month plus. I think that's here to stay. DeMarcus Robinson is more of the wind sprint guy. Mecole Hardman, only 19 routes on 56 Mahomes dropbacks. They did give him a couple of jet sweeps, which he looked very fast on. I thought CH looked good. Mm-hmm. CH ran the ball well. He broke tackles. He was aggressive. I'm far from a football guy. But yeah, to me, like, McKinnon fits their scheme so much better, especially when they play the Bills. I'm not sure it's the same when they play the Bengals. When they play the Bills, they know they need to score. Mahomes, the ball's going to be in Mahomes' hand the whole game. Obviously, that's a McKinnon game. So yeah, it was good to be on that. I think McKinnon ran a little bit bad not to have more fantasy points. But if they get a lead on the Bengals, if they're in more base, if they try to say, hey, we can win this game with the run game, CEH and base is probably a little bit better than McKinnon, and I could see that being coming together. But in pass downs, McKinnon is just awesome.
And it's still weird to me, just after watching him play, quite a bit at LSU, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a better runner than he is a receiving back. I don't know if I want to say that definitively yet, but that's absolutely the way that it's been so far. And he's probably their best runner right now, and McKinnon's their best back in the receiving game.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We have said it all about the 4 remaining NFL teams. We'll be back for the betting show on Thursday. We'll be back on Friday to get more into these matchups. Evan's matchups will, of course, be up later this week as well, as we get set for the 2-game slate and the showdown slates that are coming up for conference championship weekend. If you are looking for better fuller NBA DFS action, is intact. No 2-game slates, no 4-game slates. Well, maybe there's some, but there are a ton of huge, huge, huge slates. Be sure to check out NBA DFS, NBA props. We are running a rest of season sale right now on both of those as the NFL season winds down. For Bruce Luke, for Evan, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.